as only you can. We yield now to your voice and to your presence. In Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, standing on the authority of the scriptures. As we begin moving in the footsteps, and that's what I want you to do, is just take off your Gucci's, take off your Steve Adams, Stacy Adams. Take off your tennis shoes, and I want you to put your feet in Jesus' shoes and take a walk with me today. And I want you to begin to move into the footsteps of Jesus, move into his earthly ministry, because I just want to remind you that Jesus is not a figment of our imagination. He was a real man, but was fully God. And he walked this earth some many years ago. And as we move in his footsteps, as we consider his earthly ministry during this time of this text, that some of you, many of you are familiar with, but I do want you to stay teachable and humble to the scriptures. Because Jesus' ministry, it helps us to strengthen our faith this morning in a very unique way. And the faith tone that we want to set is to find it in three ways, and that is to find comfort, that is to find strength, and that is to find direction. That's the faith tone that we want to set this morning. Because as we raise up the importance of these three characteristics, we need to be standing on the authority of Scripture. And so, as I emphasize, the reason why we believe in the Scripture is because Scripture itself, the very book that you hold, Scripture itself has revealed itself to be the Word of God. Scripture has revealed itself to be the Word of God. When we begin to look at Scripture, Paul says it this way. Paul, as he instructs this young pastor called Timothy, in his pastoring in 2 Timothy, he said it this way. He says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Somebody say, all Scripture. See, being clear here about when Paul says all Scripture, he's talking about the 66 books of the Bible. He's talking about the canon of Scripture. I want to just give you a little history today. Those 66 books, they're called the Bible. There's other books that have been known, but they're not the canon of Scripture. They're called the Apocrypha books. They were received under Roman Emperor to use in the Roman Catholic Church in history, but they're not considered as the 66 canon of Scripture, because they did not validate who Christ was, who he is. And so we do not stand on the Apocrypha scriptures. They are not scripture according to the Holy Bible. Which means these books, the 66 books of the canon of Scripture, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. This is important because your history shows you how people have come to conclusion about who God is. It's important that you don't take it lightly and understand that the very Bible you hold, it connects you to God's plan and God's history. Which means these books has revealed the revelation of God's will through his Son. That's how we draw the line. That's where we understand where we stand on when it comes to truth. Because when the Bible has revealed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and for this existence of his creation, the Bible has revealed, he also revealed out of this the plan of redemption for all of mankind. The scriptures has revealed not only the plan of redemption, and we just experienced that in communion, but scriptures reveal our future. Oh, somebody ought to say amen. The scriptures reveal the church future. The scriptures reveal the future existence of a new heaven is coming. Of a new earth is coming. And I want you to understand this has been revealed through scripture. I want to be clear. Scripture came from God. Paul says, as a revealed inspiration of himself, meaning as the Holy Spirit. And when we say the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the third person of the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit. When he moved in man, when he came upon man, the Bible, the history tells us when man began to feel the weight and the burden of God's word and what God was revealing through his truth. In other words, when God brought it to life to man, then that's when we begin to see how God made his will known through his scriptures. God, the Holy Spirit, breathed on man who were holy men of God. And as a result of that, God took these holy men and they began to write what God has said. And God's word has not come back empty. God used man to reveal his word. You see, the written word is known as the Holy Scriptures because God breathed. It's been inspired. It comes from God. Oh, well, people may well say, well, I thought man wrote the Bible. Man was used to write the Bible, but it was godly inspired. God breathed. See, it's out of here. We've got to understand this is why we believe the scriptures to be true, because those who have come to this revelation, they have laid their life down for this word. They have laid their life down for the cause of Christ. They have died so that the scriptures could come alive. Do you not know that generations from generations had died for the cause of Christ so that this written word could get to you and me? When you study history of how this word has come, and that's why in this 21st century, if there's anybody should be giving God praise, it should be us, because this word has come down from one generation to another generation, and it has been handed to us in such a way that we have the responsibility right now to take and lift this word up and say, this is still the authority of God in the earth today. Does anybody believe in the scripture? The scriptures, it is this authority we look to govern ourselves through the rule and through the reign of God's holy word. That's why you got to know the word for yourself. For yourself, you got to understand that you have a responsibility to understand what God has revealed. And how many of you know that God is no respect of person? Look at your neighbor and say, are you working with the word? Are you working with the word? Are you in the word? Are you studying the word to show yourself as one that has been approved of God? You're not dependent on Christian cliches. I'm blessed and highly favored. Yes, I'm blessed and highly favored. But can you deal with the devil when he comes to tempt you? Do you know the word? Are you empowered by this word? Have your mind been renewed by this word? Have you understand the truth and the revelation of this word? Because this word governs, somebody say governs. It has been governing mankind who has come to the place of God reveals truth, that it's out of this rule is where we become the Lord, come to know the lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord. That means he rules. He reigns from his place of authority. Can you say amen? Amen. See, it's one thing of him being your savior and receiving him, but it's another thing of submitting to him as Lord. That means that you're living for him. And so out of this, the scriptures, it begins to show us how this written word governs our life to bring out the rule, the reign of God for us. And out of this, Paul says in that scripture, to make it profitable. This scripture is to bless you. Oh, somebody say amen. Amen. This scripture is to bless you this morning. This scripture is to make your life profitable. I just want to take a moment here. How many of you know if it had not been for the word, you wouldn't be where you are today? Oh, y'all not going to play with me. I mean, the word has really changed your life. I mean, the word has came in, and the things that you used to do, you don't do no more. The scripture has brought a profit in your life. A godly prophet. It has reproved you. It has changed you from doing wrong to doing right. It has brought correction for instructions in righteousness, to live the right way, to live according to the right standards of God's way. You see, church and coming to church and worshiping and having a good time, it's all good. But if we don't live who we worship, if we don't allow the scripture to guard our mouth, then our worship, our sound is nothing but, come on, Brother Brian, just bang on them like you don't know how to play. That's what we sound like. You sounding too good. Come on, sound like you don't know how to play. That's hard for him. That's very hard for him. But you're just making a whole lot of sound. A whole lot of sound. Can God keep you when nobody else is there? Can God help you when nobody else is there? Is the word real to you when you come up against life crisis? See, this is where we begin to understand who we are in God, of that authority, that he gives us instructions to know how to do it the right way. We're always asking, what shall I do? What is God's will for my life? How can I know the truth in this way? God is saying, know my word. Search the scriptures. Stop searching for everybody else's opinion. Search the scripture for yourself so that you can be accountable to what God's word has to say. See, listen to this, because as you go with me to 2 Peter, verses 1 to verses 4, I want you to just write that down. I don't have time to go to that scripture, but it's here. Peter talks about in that scripture, is talking about, because we are connected to the divine nature of God, he says, according to this divine power, we have been given to everything to us that's pertained to life and godliness. This is out of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. I want you to meditate on that scripture. But when you hear Peter says that we have been given everything according, somebody say according. According to divine purpose. Look, if it's anybody who loves worship, loves church, loves to be around everyone that loves to praise God, and I love to be in the midst of when the Holy Spirit is causing people to express themselves and giving him praise, and sometimes it'll put running in your feet and clapping in your hands, and sometimes it'll make you cry, and sometimes it'll make you slap something. No, I'm just playing with you there. There's nothing like being in that midst, and oh, how we say when we leave the gathering place, oh, didn't we have church today? But we get out there and talk about people. But oh, how we shout it. That's bringing attention to yourself if you're not living it. If you're not living it, all you're doing is putting on a show for yourself. Your praise don't mean anything, or how you jump or how good you sound, if you're not living what you're singing about. And so in all of this, Peter is saying, those who've been connected to this divine power, it brings us back to God's authority. this divine power that has been given to us that's pertaining to life and godliness. Peter is talking about God's authority. God's authority should make or should have and should be making a difference in your life. God's authority should be making a difference because living in a world that's constantly changing, that's unpredictable, and Lord knows you don't know what you're going to hear on the news. You don't know what you're going to see. See, I got big issues because just help your pastor out. I come up in an era to where, you know, I've been delivered from all kinds of drugs and marijuana and all that kinds of stuff. And see, for me, I come under the tutelage to where when you smoke marijuana, this was the gateway. Well, first it was cigarettes, but marijuana was the gateway to lead you into all other hard stuff. Hard stuff. And I come under the time to where that there was people, if you was caught with a dime bag, you know your pastor knew all that. An ounce, y'all know, see, a $5 bag. Let the church say amen. I knew people who went to jail for 3 years for a $5 bag. See, we playing with this thing. I knew people who went and served or just got caught and just had a couple of joints in their pocket and went to jail and served a whole year. There has been people who have been incarcerated so wrongly. And now what bothers me is that we've gotten so smart now. We saying that marijuana helps people with pain. Well, I could have told you that many years ago. You didn't need no scientist to help you. I could have told you that it took away every pain. Somebody say amen. But now we think we so smart now because it helps people for what you call it, municipal purposes. Uh-huh. Some of us, we're hiding behind that. And I want you to not be naive because we live in a world that you can go on the street corners of places and find weed stores. I'm glad I'm saved in this day and time because I would have owned a weed store. But I want you to understand that the devil is not playing fair. And it's fooling not just unsaved folk, but it's fooling Christian folk who thinking that it's okay to be under this kind of control. And anything that medical science put his name on it doesn't mean you have to use it. Doesn't mean that it's right before God. Just because medical science has come and declared it's going to help you with some pain, I want you to know that it's a gateway to get your mind in an altered state in such a way you're not really living life. You're under another influence. And so out of all of this, we got to stand true to the authority of scriptures because it's only the scriptures that's going to cause you to keep on a firm foundation because that what used to be wrong, we got to say it's still wrong. It's not right. It's not a new normal. We got to stand up and be ready to cry out loud and then declare and say God has still standards. See, living this world and constantly changing, things are changing, but yet, we need the scriptures because we need the scriptures because in three ways, because in comfort times, when we feel alone, we need scripture. We need scripture in times to when we need to be strengthened because when we're weak. In times to when we need direction, how many of you know we need to be guided? Guided. See, comfort means Joshua 1:9-10. It says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and courage and be not afraid, but be thou dismayed for the Lord thy God is with thee and whithersoever thy goest. That's comfort. God strengthened David from Psalm 73, verses 26, says, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. David was strengthened. God's word gives us direction in Psalms 32 and 8. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eyes. Aren't you glad God got you out of some mess? Aren't you glad God got you out of some hard times? Because he guided you, he comforted you, he strengthened you, he gave you direction. We need an immutable character of God's scripture that never changes, of him being almighty, that will always be the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If you believe that, give God a praise. You see, this morning, as I talk to you for a couple more minutes, the text that I read to you, it places us in the midst of a conversation of the devil, one who is a fallen angel, to remind you. He comes tempting Jesus. Now Jesus has put on humanity. He tempts him in the earth to put his trust in another authority. As we begin to unfold this, I want you to see the practicality of what it means to us of standing on the authority of Scripture. I want you to remind ourselves today to how Jesus took a stance on the authority of Scripture. Listen, because in verse 1 it says, then when Jesus was led of the Spirit, capital S in your scriptures, it says capital S, meaning he was led by God, the Holy Spirit, meaning he was guided by the Holy Spirit into a wilderness, a tough place, a place to where there wasn't no living, a place to where it was barren. God, the Holy Spirit, led his son into a place of barrenness, a wilderness place, and he led him there to be tempted, meaning he was to be under a test and he was to be tried of the devil. This is what's going on in the text, which is important for us to note that sometimes, somebody say sometimes God will allow and lead us into some situation, knowing you can only get through with him when the tempter comes. God will put you in situations and to put you there to be tried and true, knowing that the tempter is coming. And immediately the text, it moves us to see that Jesus had entered into a fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And the text shows us that later he became hungry. How many know you would have became hungry too if you didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights? You see, some of us, we can't go without one day without eating. And so you can just imagine out of the humanity how Jesus fell after 40 days and 40 nights. It's here we see the humanity of your Lord and my Lord. Jesus, being the Son of Man, yet was fully God. In his humanity, he was totally affected because he went without a food for 40 days. The human side of his defenses began to kick in. And it began to kick in and it moved him from his human side to a state of needing some consumption of some physical strength. And see, all of us can relate to this physical emphasis that's being placed on the scriptures here as we see Jesus state, because it was in his weak physical state that's when we see the tempter coming to him. How many of you know the devil always shows his colors? He always shows up in his character as the tempter. As soon as he sees an opportunity, he picks, watch this, for his best time to win. He thinks that he can have the best opportunity. He's going to show up. How many know he'll show up in your life when you thought that it was at the end, but he'll show up just to try to push you over the cliff. He challenged Jesus in this moment. Here's what I want you to begin to see, that while he showed up at the time he thought it was opportunity for him, the tempter's character, which of the devil, it means this. Whenever you hear he's a tempter, it means he is strategically at a purpose. He's coming with a plan. And he's coming with a purpose. When you begin, when he start tempting you, that's why you don't play with just a little bad joke. You don't play with just a little sin. Because when he strategically starts to tempt you, it's with a purpose and it's with a will that he's trying to get you. He challenged Jesus in his moment of his weakness, saying, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Strategic with purpose. If thou be the Son of God. Strategically, he had a plan to tempt Jesus out of his humanity state. The devil, his ways are craftiness. He entices and he depends on the humanity of weakness. You remember about some months ago, I told you I had a vivid dream of the lion walking in front of me. And it was so vivid that he was just walking gradually. And a dove came and he bit the lion, bit the dove by his neck. And when I saw him biting the dove by his neck, I knew that it was an attack on my family. I knew, because dreams can be subjective, but I knew it was a word for the body. And so out of this, you heard me say, but when I raised my authority in that dream, when the enemy, here's what it was going. It was so beautiful, so clear in the dream. He was just walking just methodically and gradually. And all of a sudden, he turned. Not while he was walking, it was like it was no care in the world while I was subjectively in the dream. But then all of a sudden, it turned. All I'm trying to say to you is, see, the devil is a tempter. And he can make you think that he's not coming against you. He can make you think that he's for you. He can put things in your life and make it seem like it's okay to have a little of this and to have a little of that and to gossip a little here and to gossip a little there and to have a little sip here and to have a little sip there and to sleep with this person here and to sleep with this person there. He'll make you think it's okay until he turn on you. Until he turns. And out of that dream, that's when I begin to raise my voice. And I holler, "Take your hand." And that's when the lion took his hands off of the dove. I want you to know that when that dream came, hell broke loose in my family. And I've been raising my voice up and letting the devil know he has no place against my children. He has no place against my home. He has no place against the church, the people of God. I want you to know, some of us, we've been going through life and we're thinking it's all right, thinking everything is okay until the devil turns on you. But I come to remind you this morning, you got to raise your voice of authority, your voice of power, your voice of scripture, and begin to lift your word up over your situation. When the devil becomes attacking you with strategic purpose, you got to attack back with the word of God and say, "If God be for me, who can be against me?" He's crafty, using the word "if." If Jesus was to suggest as if Jesus is not who he says he is. As if Jesus, watch this, had to prove to the tempter. Which is a lesson all within itself. Because sometimes pressure in life gets us all discombobulated. And we forget about who we are in Christ. Meaning in our weakness, we look for so many emotional things to attach ourselves to. Because a lot of this, it shows our lack of trust when we are out of control. In our weakness, look, we don't have to listen to the pressure of the tempter. In our weakness, we don't have to listen to the pressure of the tempter. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. But all he wants to do is to get your mind on what it seems like it's going to overtake you. I never forget when we had Samuel. Samuel was our third child. And as growing up as young parents, you know, when we had Jordan, we threw him up. Oh, bundle of joy. Thank God. You know, when he had his first bowel movement, we was praising God. Till the second one. Then old Rachel came out with her loud mouth. You know, she began to, you know, took my level to another. You know, still got a loud mouth. She's not here. I can say that this morning. But when Samuel came, you know, as young couples, you know, we're trying to pay the bills. We are trying to, you know, to do what's right, and we're feeling the weight. We're feeling the weight of parenthood. We're feeling the weight of commuting in traffic. We're feeling the weight of all of this. And when Samuel happened to come, kind of rocked the boat there for a moment. But when we begin to see the blessing of the Lord in the midst of pressure, that the devil wasn't going to steal us declaring the blessing of the Lord when our third son came and we knew it was pressure of being a parent. Because the first thing came to my mind was, Lord have mercy, here comes another college bill. See, men, we think like that. We think ahead. You know, Rachel, Jordan hadn't even graduated high school, but I'm still thinking of college bill for Samuel. And lo, behold, God blessed him to get a full ride and graduates this year that he earned. But while I was in the midst of the pressure, I was tempted not to want my blessing. See, regardless of how the tempter attacks your identity, in spite of what he uses in the temptation, guys, this is where the text lifts up the value of the authority of scriptures in the midst of life pressures. Some of us, we're dealing with pressures that you don't know how you're going to come through. I'm trying to tell you, there's authority in God's word. Jesus' response shows us the answer to life pressure. He says more so than that, but he brings us to the mindset that must be the mindset to those who believe in the scriptures when pressure comes. He's trying to get us on a level to how to deal with pressure when we'll operate and have access to authority. That we're not to succumb to our limitation. He answers in verse 4 and he says, for it is written. He knew the pressure. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See, being a follower of Jesus is we have to be growing in our obedience to him. Watch this, and to be disciplined in our minds to bring every thought into the knowledge of Christ. Because this is where we are challenged with life's pressures, to where fear comes in, but there is authority through scriptures that helps us to be grounded. Amen. To bring peace when storms come. See, it's out of here. Jesus point to the devil. He point to the devil to the word of God that has already been established and already been final. See, this goes deeper here because Jesus is dealing with a fallen angel, the character of a devil. And in his, watch this, in his response, Jesus placed emphasis on his response through the humanity of a man and said that it's more to a man than just being human. He reminded the tempter, who is the devil, somebody say the devil, that man's life source is found in scripture that comes from God. He wanted us to see clearly of what man is supposed to totally to depend upon. You see, the great reminder here is the level of living must be according to Scripture. And you got to see where your level is. And you got to ask, is it according to Scripture? I would say it here, if you don't hear nothing else. Watch this. No godliness, no Scripture. No Scripture, no comfort. No, watch this. No Scripture, no strength. No Scripture, no godly direction. The tempter position is to encounter another perspective. He says, think it's favorable for him. Watch this. He says, the Bible took him to a holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he asked him a question. He says, again, if he was the Son of God. Now, what I want to just close us out here. The devil is clearly in the Scriptures in his exchange with Jesus. He's really revealing that he has authority issues. He has authority issues. And he has authority issues with God. That's why when you want somebody, want your counsel, give them the word. If they have a problem with, they can't point their finger at you. They have to have peace with God. See, Jesus as he tempts Jesus with these attempts, as if he has to prove himself to the tempter. And I'm hoping that you're hearing me today. Because so many of us, sometimes you can find yourself in situations to where it looks like the devil will set you up to make you think that God has to come through. What is clear about this scripture is the tempter is not if he's coming, but when he comes. In your life, he's going to tempt you, but you got a word to stand on. See, it's out of here we see the Lord revealing to us in these situations that God only allows the devil to do what he wants him to do. To show us it does not matter, watch this, if the devil shows up. Tell your neighbor, say, don't fret when he shows up. Tell him we're going home. It's almost kickoff. Because sometimes we give the devil so much credit. Oh, the devil is busy. The devil is show. What? So what he showed up? So what he got busy? Get busy back. Touch your neighbor and say, are you getting busy back? Or are you in your feelings? You have an authority to stand on. And don't think that your situation is exclusive. Bishop, you don't know what I'm going through. Bishop, you don't know what I've been through. Bishop, you don't know. There is nothing new under the sun that is known unto mankind. I want to say to somebody, if you're going through something heavy this day, if you're going through a hard time today, if you've been tempted and something has come into your life that you don't know what to do, I come to tell you that's a good time to stand on the authority of his word. Come on, somebody help me close this out and stand and give God a praise. Because after the third time that the devil came, Jesus rebuked him. And call him for who he is. And say, Satan, get thee behind me. And sometimes, sister and my brother, you just got to speak it and call it for what it is. Because Satan wants to steal your joy. The devil thinks that he has the last say. But if God be for us, if he's the author and the finisher of your faith, listen to me. Scripture says nothing. Yeah.
Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You ought to lift your hands up and say, God, I'm thank you because you're walking with me. You're going to be there with me. You're going to see me through this thing. You're going to cause me to work together for my good. I just need you to take 10 seconds and lift your hands and give God some praise in here and stand on the authority of his word and lift up a standard of righteousness and says God is still in control. Because I'm standing, not in my strength. Don't you know that's what the resurrection is all about? It was a hard situation, and they thought they had Jesus. But God can come down and move hard stuff. And say, get up, my brother. Get up, my sister. And stand. And after you've done all that you know how to do, anybody gonna receive today? You prayed about it, you fast about it. But stand and know that your salvation draws nigh. Come on, lift your hands and worship the God that you love. The word that is true. The word that will not come back void. We are a people that will stand on the authority of God's word. People will let you down. Your close friends.